This is Kurt.
This is Jason.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to the MFG Cast. Jason's doing rock hands. He's doing air guitar.
Straight up air guitar. Yeah, I could have used a drummer there, Kurt.
You could have. Keyboards. Ooh. If you hear the tapping on the table, that is my keyboards.
It was No, it was great. No, that was perfect.
I'm hitting the ivories, as they say. I know, right? In this episode, we're going to be talking about Rock Hard 1977.
Rock Hard.
But before that, I'm going to throw a question at you, Jason.
Give me one.
I feel like we've talked about this a bunch, but I'm going to go in a different direction. So you are kind of newish to the game night for us. Well, technically, you're not even newish now. It's been like a couple of years now that you've been playing with us.
I think it's like a year and a half. I'd still say that's new, though.
It's still new.
Old. That's a small percentage of my life.
That's true. That's true. You are 82.
I will fight you and probably break a hip.
Yeah, no kidding. You're actually younger than I am, so it doesn't matter. No,
that's what I was getting at. You're really
old. I am very old. I'm a wheelchair old. okay, what was I saying?
Easily distracted.
I know.
I have no idea. You want to ask me a question.
Oh, yeah. So you're coming to game nights and stuff like that. You're newish to the game night thing. What's some advice you would give to people that are newish into going into like a board game night or going to a board game group?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good question because for me, like, games have always been something that have interested me. Like, I enjoyed playing them when I was younger.
Yeah.
Or, like, go to a party that involved where there was some people sitting off to the side playing some stuff. And, like, I've done D&D before a little bit. Like, I was never part of a group that did it all the time. But, like, I do it, join in with some people. But I think it's really overwhelming with some of the games. And I think we've kind of talked about it before, how there's some of them that are just, I'm not good at reading instructions and being able to play a game where, like, that's just not how I learn, which is probably why I wasn't great in school. but, like, it can seem really overwhelming. But if you've got a good group of people, like, once you start playing, that kind of goes away. Like, if you've got people that are fun, which to me, that's what games should be. So as long as you've got a group of people that are going to have fun, whether they're winning or losing or whatever, that can describe the games and give you a little bit of leeway, I think that that's a huge thing. So I think go into it with an open mind, knowing that you don't have to understand everything right away.
Yeah.
And that the longer you keep playing, the more you're going to pick up. You know, we've talked about before where, like, I've kind of learned what some of my favorite gaming styles are.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really like the deck building games or the world building, like, that kind of stuff. I actually really enjoyed Rock Hard. I thought this was a great game.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It has kind of a storyline to it, so that's, like, some of mine. But I think it's, don't feel like you have to know everything about gaming, and you probably are gonna get picked on for not knowing the little things, you know, like me not knowing what a meeple was or, you know, like whatever, but that makes it more fun. Like, you should be picked on for not knowing those things as long as it's fun picking and
not mean.
You don't know what a meeple is, but no, I think there's so much out there that, like, just because you played Monopoly growing up and hated it, like we all do, like, I actually have a Star Wars version of Monopoly, and it still sucks. I mean, I still play it, but it still sucks.
Yeah, it's still
Monopoly. Just because you've played those games, or you've played, like, Chutes and Ladders, where it's just, like, there is no strategy, there is no thought. Like, if you like something in life, there's probably a game about it. Like,
yeah, that's
literally
true.
Just ordered it, and I got it at my house. I haven't played it yet. because I'm a bird nerd, where you're pretending to be a crow. Like, I cannot wait to play that because it's something that's cool in life. So I think the best advice I would have is that if you're into anything, there's a board game that you're probably into. Mm. And no matter what your own self-perceived level of intelligence is, you're going to be able to figure out how to play them. And now, especially with how many online videos there are about how to play, like, go watch the videos. Like, there's no shame in going, dude, I read the instructions and I have no idea what it means, because I can't do it. Like, I can't figure it out. I don't, like, if you miss one little bit of terminology, like, that's it. Like, if it's an important part of the game and you don't understand what one thing means, and why would you know what it means if you've never played the game before?
Yeah.
Like, go online, see what the hell they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Watch a couple of videos. You know, what is that? Was it Board Game University? Is that the one?
Yes.
That one is great. Like, I love theirs because they treat me like I'm an idiot when they explain it, but in a way that's not offensive. Like, I really like that. Yeah. So there's a lot of videos on there. So I think, you know, go into it knowing that there's probably something for you at any level of knowledge or intelligence or whatever, and you're going to be able to figure it out. And remember to just have fun. Like, it's supposed to be fun. Like, who cares if you win or lose? Like, obviously you want to win.
Yeah.
But the games are just like, just get into it.
Yeah.
Have fun with it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Exactly. Something for everybody. No, that was a good question.
For sure.
I could talk all day if you
You could have. You could have. Well, no, I'm going to talk now.
Oh, right.
Thank you. So I am going to be on the opposite side of that. So it's weird because I'm going to say this and I still don't believe it. I'm a board game veteran. I put that in quotations. Thank you for my service. I'm just kidding. That was a stupid comment. That was the dumbest fucking comment. I'm sorry, everyone.
I don't know. I've heard a lot dumber.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, I'd say you're a board game veteran.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like it compared to me anyway.
Yeah, been in it. Well, this podcast has been going since 2012, so it's been a bit.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a long time. Yeah,
it is. Hi.
You keep talking while I take
No, some I can't do that. Are you kidding me? Squirrel. Okay. So the things that I would talk about when you are a board game veteran, you are trying to bring games to the table, help other people bring games to the table, stuff like that, I would suggest a couple things. Number one, be patient. Like, that's like the biggest thing. Like, even me trying to figure out games, sometimes I get very frustrated. Like, we've talked about this before we even recorded. I feel like I have ADD. I've never had a diagnosis, but like, my brain is in a million places at once. And sometimes even reading a rule book, I'm like, okay, I need to read this rule book before we come play the game or whatever, stuff like that. I get lost sometimes. I'll start reading and then my eyes will start unfocusing. I'll hear somebody say something. I'll be like, what? And then, you know, and like my phone dings and like there's just a lot of things that can distract. But I think being prepared being patient is a big thing, because not only are you trying to get through and like maybe you're the one that's teaching or maybe someone else is teaching or something like that, you can always like, you know, be patient and like if someone else is teaching, let them kind of do their thing and don't be like, well, what about this? You know, you could do that, but just do it in a nice way.
No, you
like,
guys,
oh, yeah, but what
you
about
guys
this
do a really like good job. I'm glad you pointed that out, because as the novice, kind of the interaction with that, you guys do a really good job where I see you guys sometimes where one of the other people will think of something. And if you do that, like, there is times where somebody does jump in and I'm like, well, now I don't know. It's over. And I literally will just sit back in my chair and let you guys talk. Because, like, at that point, it just ruined it for me. Not like it's a, like, not saying, like, screw you guys, you ruined this for me.
Yeah.
But, like, my brain was following. Boom. Somebody else says something that's not actually, like, online, that's just somewhat related. And it's like, well, now I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, I think. Yeah, for like the way you're saying, like to explain it, but then be patient, because I know there's like you are really good at explaining that stuff, and I think your patience is that, where you'll explain it through, and then you always go, "Does that make sense?"
Mm-hmm.
And usually it does, but every once in a while I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, bro. I don't get it. So then you sit there and you look at me and you give me a look, and then you rethink about it and you start over. So yeah, no, I think that's a very good point that. Yeah, from your side, I can see being patient.
Yeah.
And it's appreciated.
Thank you. Another thing, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Obviously, when you're teaching a game, I know there's times we've played games, and then, like, years down the road, we're like, oh, we never played that one right. It's like holy shit, this mechanic that we thought was one thing is another thing, and it changes everything.
I know we've found that a few times in the year and a half that I've been playing, where we're halfway through and somebody will like take a glance at the rule book and they'll be like, oh wait, we've been doing this wrong the entire time. So then we have that discussion like, well, do we want from here on out to follow the rules, or do we want to keep going with the rules we've been using and we'll change it next time? I think having the patience and the wherewithal to just be like, all right, we as a group are going to make a decision and not like, oh, shoot, it's my turn this round and we just realized this and it's going to give me an advantage. So I'm going to do it because that's the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I would say is references. Like we talked about, like videos. BGG always seems to have instructions on their for each game on their website. So if you...
For the novices, what is BGG?
Is BoardGameGeek.com.
Okay, there it is.
Yes. So
I literally didn't know what you meant.
It's a... I'm glad you said
novice.
That. Yeah, exactly.
See, I still have. Exactly. BoardGameGeek. You guys talk about it all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
But... It's basically a reference page for games. It'll tell you, it'll give, it's basically a user run kind of site where the company themselves run the site, but then you can like do ratings and reviews on there if you like as well. They'll actually tell you a bunch of like nerdy things like what's the weight of the game, what's the complexity of the game. They'll actually talk about like, what the game actually is. So if it's a deck builder, it would say deck builder. You can click on deck builder under mechanics and it'll show you a bunch of other deck builders and stuff like that. So and that's a good place for reference stuff. And then like even if you see a game that you're like, that looks kind of cool, I wonder what that's all about, you can go to Board Game Geek, look up that game, and you can see what other people say about it.
That's cool.
So just kind of gives
you... I know you guys reference that one all the time while we're playing. Yeah. Like regularly go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps.
Yeah. So, you know, it's as a veteran, you know, I think it's best to like pull from a bunch of different places and be like, hey, this is...
I just got your thank you for your service. You just got that.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Shut up.
Yeah, squirrel. It was bad. So bad. But yeah.
Terrible.
It was terrible. See? I'm dad joking adjacent here.
That is great.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Enough joking around. Let's get to business.
Next time you read instructions, when you're done, I'm just going to be like, thank you for your super skirt.
Perfect.
Board game veteran.
That's right. I'm going to start a new podcast called The Board Game Veteran.
Got a paper cutting. Nah.
That's right. So let's talk about Rock Hard 1977.
Rock Hard.
Jason.
Yes.
Do you like to rock hard? And now you can't respond with any innuendo or anything else. Go.
Yes. I enjoy Rock Hard.
Nice.
Perfect. No, this game is awesome. I really like this game. Yes,
I do too. It's amazing. So, I just wanted to talk really quick about the person that made this game. Her name is Jackie Fox.
Also amazing.
Like,
ridiculous.
Yeah, are you kidding me? She was the bassist for the all-female rock band The Runaways. If you ever heard of them, they sing the old 70s song Cherry Bomb that you've heard in like...
Cherry Bomb!
There it is.
Wait, do we have to pay royalties or...
Oh, no. I think it's like 30 seconds and then you have to pay after.
Cherry!
Okay,
how many times can I do it?
No, I think you have to be done now.
Okay, I'll be done now. That's such a banger, though.
I'm going to ask our lawyers. Lawyers? Nope, we can't do it. Sorry. But no, that's such a great song. Such a great song. I think...
That's iconic. Like, everyone, anybody that's ever listened to music knows that song.
What that song is.
It's been covered so many times, and it's always good. I don't think I've ever heard a poor cover of that song.
I want to say that's in the old movie Empire Records, too. I think it's in that one, too, if I remember right. God, I love that movie. Anyway, she's also a four-time Jeopardy champion. I mean, like, what? And now you've made this board game? What the heck haven't you done? I mean, seriously, that's amazing. Love it.
Oh, that's incredible. Like, how some people just have it at life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, there's so many things where I feel like, hell yeah, I'm pretty good at that. But, like, She just killed life.
Yeah, she just
was like, you know what? Like, I think I'm going to be great at everything I try. I'm sure there's something she tried.
Yeah.
Like, she's probably a terrible cook.
She probably is. Just awful. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Somebody's going to send a message and be like, actually, she's like a five-star.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy.
Exactly. She has a Michelin restaurant.
I hope she hears this and, like, sends us a message. Like, actually, I'm terrible at this one odd thing.
And it's like... clipping my toenail. This is something mundane that, and everything else she's just phenomenal at.
World champion tire changer.
Exactly.
She worked in a NASCAR pit one time.
Oh my god. We could make the lore of Jackie Fox just so
I don't
much
think
better.
We have to. She seems badass.
I know.
Like, anything we
no
make
kidding.
Up, she's going to be like, actually, this one time, I did that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jackie Fox, you're badass. Wait, there's got to be a Jackie Fox fan club.
Oh, for sure.
I want to be in it.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about something that's kind of related, but like not. Like, we love music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that. I think that's like, besides board games, I feel like that's like one of our like things that we've bonded on.
Oh, for sure.
Like, we've been to concerts together. We've seen awesome like people. We've been, I mean, how many concerts do you think you've been to?
In my life?
Yeah.
I know somebody recently asked me, because I work for a major music festival, like day of operations kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've done two a year for the last 5 years, plus an extra. But then I've also got a buddy that works in radio that I've gone with him to either help or just hang out at. Plus, I started going to festivals when I was in high school,
yeah,
which is in the late 90s. So for 30 years, I've been going to at least one festival every summer, plus concerts. Like, I have to have seen thousands of bands at this point.
Yeah.
Some of these festivals have 70 bands a day.
Nice.
Or 70 bands total.
Yeah, for the weekend.
So,
yeah.
So, like, when I go to two or three of them a year, that's 140. And a lot of those lower bands, like, on the bill, that's it. Like, they're bagging groceries or whatever, you know, selling construction materials down the road. So you get those few holdovers that have been in doing it since I started, but then you've got 40 bands on that playlist.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even know. I've easily, for concerts, I've easily been to 100 concerts.
Nice.
If not 200.
Nice.
Easily 100.
Yeah.
And I have to think I've seen over 1,000 bands.
Yeah.
Easily 1,000 bands.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I definitely have not seen that many. But I've seen my share.
I've got to meet quite a few of the artists, too, which is really cool.
That's
especially
awesome.
When they're, like, great, like, super nice people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Seven Dust. I'm obviously a big rock guy, which probably why I enjoyed this game so much, Rock Hard. But Seven Dust has just got a reputation within anybody that's music about being great guys.
Yeah.
And, like, I've run into Lejean in passing a few different times, like at events, and it's like he says hello as you go by and like gives a head nod or a wave or whatever. Just like,
is that the lead singer for the band?
Yep. And then Morgan, like, I've watched it. He stopped in with me. I had a friend that knows him, and they stopped and were just like, oh, hey. And like, we stood there in BS for a few seconds, and
it
literally felt like we were friends. Like, you know, so then there's, you know, obviously I've met the guys from Sleep Theory, and it's just like, hanging out with, for me, the younger guys, but like, you know, where it's cool getting to meet guys like that, where it's like, these are major rock stars, mm-hmm. and everybody I know knows who they are, but then you get to see them in situations like that, and kind of get to see some of the behind the scenes, like, we're going to do in this game, and get to see, you know, like, talking to the guys in Sleep Theory, they said one of the first times that they felt like they noticed that they were maybe getting to be famous was they were in their hometown and they ran to the big box construction store where I think one or two of them had said they had previously worked.
Yeah.
And like people started actually coming up to them that they maybe didn't know.
Yeah.
And that they said that was the first time where things were a little bit different.
Yeah.
Or it's cool hearing some of that kind of stuff with some of the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of anything music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Festival.
Yeah, you've been to, I mean, there's like nothing you really, I feel like there's no genre that you don't like.
No, for the most part, I've been to every kind of music there is. I mean, literally from classical all the way up to like some hardcore metal.
Yeah.
Like I'm, like Zach Wilde with Black Label reached out and shook my hand from the stage, which was really freaking cool. But then Charlie Parr stood next to me at Blue Ox Music Festival while I was drinking a beer, and we stood and he told stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, like I said, with Sleep Theory, or I've been backstage and stood there while some of these other guys that are like going out are getting ready. I had a freaking mental breakdown one time because I had a couple too many beverages, and I got to meet Kelly Clarkson, and like Kelly Clarkson's incredibly famous.
Yeah.
And when you've had a couple extra beers on a day, it's like, holy shit, I'm meeting Kelly Clarkson. Like, I freaked out a little bit.
Nice.
So, yeah. Or, like, John Party, like, him and his friends, you know, doing country. His friends, his band. I was there with a buddy that was going to do the onstage introduction, and they were taking a shot. This was a long time ago, so I don't know where they are on their sobriety, or if they are at the party or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but at that point, they took a shot backstage, and they all, like, got in a little circle and hyped each other up a little bit, and then they went out on stage. So yeah, any genre, I'm all about it. I had a friend that got a hold of me because she had tickets to a marching band concert, and she's like, I just thought maybe you'd want to go to this. I'm like, damn right I do. Let's go, man.
Yeah,
let me feel that bass in my chest.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No, I'm all about it.
That's awesome. So I feel like this game actually does a very good job of putting you in the situation of becoming a rock star, basically. You know, it goes from like, okay, so you're talking at a radio station trying to hype yourselves as to be the next big thing. You're doing these random gigs, you're doing these bigger shows, and then afterwards you're just going to do things. You're like going to a restaurant, or you're going to like, you know, record a record demo, or you're going, you know, there's a lot of different things in this game that it's making you feel like you're like in this band.
Yeah, I think even, I don't even know if saying that it makes you feel like a rock star is the correct way to put it, maybe, because it's more like you're a person, which eventually, like every rock star was just a person.
Yeah.
And this game does a good way of doing, of showing that, where, you know, like we were just talking about with some of those bands where they would go back to their local construction material store. And like, that's where they had been. And I think this does a good job of like, your goal is to be a rock star at the end. But when you start out, you're just a person.
Yeah.
And like, I think my job, because every character that we pick, you pick characters when you start the game. Like, I think my job was, I was a masseuse.
Yeah.
And what, Mike was a truck driver.
Yeah.
And what were you? You never went to work, so it didn't
matter. Yeah, I know.
Realistic.
I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I want to be a rock star. I don't give a shit.
Which some of my friends that have been bands, that definitely nailed it. It's like, hey, buddy, you do actually need to go to work. But yeah, I think it did a good job. I think this game, you're more so a person trying to be a rock star than actually being a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the end of the game, you're either a rock star or you're not.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like that.
Yeah, and one of the things I also really like about this game too is it's tongue in cheek. So like, it's got like like some of the Hangout stuff. It'll actually have like, they call it flavor text, which means like it gives you like a fun little story. And so like the Hangout stuff, and again, we'll kind of get to like a little bit about what that means, but like, it'll talk about like, oh, so, you know, you're done performing at the end of the night and all your friends want to go out and go have a couple of drinks. Do you do that? Or do you go to bed early? 'Cause you've got another performance the next day or something like that. It really plays tongue in cheek with some of the ins and outs of being in a rock band.
Yeah, and they give you the choice between, do you want to be responsible?
Yeah.
Or do you maybe want to not be responsible this one time and stay out and party? But do you want to, do you want to go to bed so you can be rested? Or do you want to stay out because you might meet somebody that's another connection?
Yes.
Like, you know, where some of those are blurred lines where there maybe isn't the benefit to going home and going to bed early. Mm-hmm. And in the that industry. Yeah. Like sometimes staying out and meeting another rock star or somebody that owns a different club might be the right move. Might be worth,
yeah.
You might be tired tomorrow, a little bit of a hangover. Your face might still be numb, but you like at least you met somebody.
Yeah, so yep.
Don't do drugs, kids.
No, don't. Which is kind of what I was going with. So they have this thing called candy, which can give you extra actions in the game. But, I mean, come on. We know it's not candy. We know it's other things.
Oh, God, yeah. It's hilarious. I didn't even think about it at first because I was still, like, trying to figure out how to play the game and making sure I wasn't really screwing myself over. And then Mike is like, I think it's great that they replaced drugs with candy. And I'm like, holy shit, they did. That's amazing. Like, it's so good because then you could play this game with your kids. And yeah. And get away with it if you just, like, never, like, point out that you need to recover because of your candy intake.
Yes, exactly.
They, like, make you diabetic and stuff. It's so much thought put into it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, in the game, basically, there's three...
Phases?
Phases, thank you. Yeah, yep. That's what I'm looking for, yeah. So they've got the day phase where you're doing some fun things. They've got a night phase where you're doing some other stuff, and then they've got some hangout. So it's basically after bar.
As somebody that used to work in bars, that's definitely the after bar scene, right?
Exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like you know during the day you're just like you're doing fun things like you're doing an interview. You're trying to get a record deal. You're hiring crew to, you know, help you perform in the later phases.
Yeah, I feel like the daytime phases where you're doing the logistics stuff, the actual work. You're doing the paperwork and the desk job and whatever. Where you're doing, like you said, you're doing your interviews. You're working on getting your publicist and all the stuff that is like on paper, the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly.
Like the daytime is the behind the scenes.
Yeah, the stuff that you wouldn't normally see unless you're a part of it.
Right. And then you go to nighttime where it's you're doing your actual performances, whether you're recording in the studio, which you might do during the daytime or the nighttime, but then you're playing at a club or a bar or just some random gig, which is literally one of the spots.
Yeah,
random gig.
Which is great because like that. I was never in a band, but some of my friends were in a band, so I would always go and just to see like some of the like things where it's like, oh, we're playing tonight, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, actually, we hired you, but you probably won't be playing tonight because we don't have enough time for you.
Right.
Like,
Like, hey, we're having this event, and you like show up, and we're going to pay you to play, and then you get there, and it's like this tiny little thing, and like you're off in the corner, and there's six other things going on in the same thing, and you like there's a whole bunch of people there, but they're not overwatching the band or whatever.
Yeah, they're not there to see you. They're to see someone else or a sound guy all of a sudden doesn't make it. So now can someone on your team do sound or you're going to have to find somebody.
And the random gigs at night on here were pretty good because some of them it was like, well, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. And none of us chose to do it. We all like went and played at a bar or went and did there because there's some other tasks that you can do. Mm-hmm. Like during the day, you have to do a daytime task. During night, you have to do a nighttime task. And during the hangout, I'm just going to call the hangout the after bar. At the after bar, you have to do certain tasks. But then there's four other tasks that you can always do if you don't want to do or you can't afford or we're too candied out to do. One of them, you can go up and either buy or sell your candy, quote unquote candy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I know a bunch of friends in bands that did sell candy and also bought a lot of candy. You can donate blood, which if you're doing too much candy, please donate blood. They're not donate blood. They're not going to take it.
They don't want it.
Yeah, you can write a song or you could work. So like those are things that you could do at any time in real life. Which I think is really good, but those random gigs during the nighttime, like some of them were really like, I'm not doing that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Which is the way it is in real life, I feel like. And then some of them was like, holy shit, like you get all kinds of stuff from going to this where sometimes you just have those things fall into your lap. Like I know some of my buddies in bands that ended up playing some pretty big venues just because they happened to make the right connection and they got a call and like, hey, can you be at this place? on this day, like in 2 days, like we just had somebody back out. Absolutely, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So just a random gig. Actually, just keep bringing up Sleep Theory, I guess, because it's still fresh in my head. That's how they ended up playing Rockfest a couple of years ago. Oh. That kind of helped jump and propel them in, that there was another band that bailed out or had something up. I don't know. I don't remember the other band. I don't remember what happened. So I don't want to like say anything bad. Like they maybe got sick. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this other band couldn't play, and somehow Sleep Theory got the call and got booked last second. And I mean, within a week to come play at Rockfest.
Wow.
And so in terms of this game, that was a random gig.
Yeah.
Just happened to be that there's tens of thousands of people and it's one of the biggest rock festivals in the nation,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you've got some pretty big freaking names there.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that they made some connections that led to one of their next tours because I saw it happen.
Nice. Which is kind of funny if you think about it because... Okay, so the people that don't listen to this regularly, we live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is not a popular town, really. I mean, I know back in the day, it used to be called, like, the safest city to live in America, which
we just got ranked one of those again, though.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Top five. That's so weird.
Dude, we're super safe. Name a bad neighborhood in Eau Claire. There isn't one. Like, the bad neighborhood is one where you maybe should lock your vehicle or your neighbors. You're going to be kind of loud. Like, this is about as safe as it gets.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because, like, I don't think of this city as being, like, one that people would be like, oh, I know what Eau Claire, Wisconsin is, because I used to drive, I was born here, but I moved around a lot, and when you tell people that, or they see it written down, they'll be like, you Claire?
Yeah.
Like, nope, you don't know.
French.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they were able to play that, and then all of a sudden it propel them, and the fact that you said that it's one of the biggest festivals.
Yeah. Well, awesome. And a lot of these huge festivals that go on, like, people go from all, like, for whatever reason, people have their favorites, and whether it's Glastonbury in, you know, I would love to go to Glastow in the UK, or Rocklahoma, which I think is actually going on this weekend. It's either this weekend or next weekend.
Yeah.
Rockfest, you know, any of the major ones that anybody knows, they all have their following that wants to go, you know, Coachella and whatever.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to Coachella, even though, like, there's some negatives that go along with it, just to go there and
just to have the experience.
So, like, people come from all over the world because they pick out their favorite thing, and then they find this festival that kind of checks all their boxes, and then that's where they go. And you know, like Rockfest had people going for 20-30 years every single year.
Yeah.
Because it turns into something they want. I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to go to Lost Lands in a month. I made a connection with somebody working at one of the other festivals that runs some stuff at Lost Lands, and that's been on my list.
Yeah.
Because I want to get peed on by a giant dinosaur, and that can happen there. If you don't believe me, go look that up. Trust me. Just go type in Lost Lands dinosaur pee, and you're going to be amazed at what you see. So, yeah. No, there's all these little things that can happen, which is in the game.
Yeah, the game. Yeah. It's just amazing. One of the things I like aesthetically, again, besides the board, because the board has all the things, like, it shows you, like, oh, here's your interview with this guy with the glasses. There's these performances in these stadiums and stuff like that. I love that our player boards are like amps, and you turn them to... It goes to 11.
It does go to 11.
I mean, come on.
As soon as I saw that, oh, man, this person... And being in the late 70s to have a Spinal Tap reference like that, like, if you're listening to this, like, go look up this game and, like, really look through, because we could spend hours going over all the minutiae of this game. Like, there's so much thought put into it, but it's actually a really easy game to play. When you first look at it and start reading the instructions, I was overwhelmed while you guys were starting to talk about it, because I didn't have time ahead of time to watch a video, and I, you know, it's not my game, so I didn't have the instructions. I didn't take the time to look them up online or anything. So I got here and you guys started to explain it, and I'm like, oh no, there's so much. And you look at the board and there's stuff everywhere. Yep. We're going through and there's so many little details, but really, when it comes down to it, it's you do one thing during the day, one thing during the night, one thing at the after bar, yeah. And there's only so many options and choices, mm-hmm. just like in real life.
Exactly.
You can do one or two things during the day, you can do one or two things during the night, yep. You can maybe, if you can handle it, make something for the after bar.
Yeah,
My younger days, I would have been all about that after bar. I would probably been DJing at it,
yeah.
Maybe buying or selling candy. But as an adult, like an old guy, no, I'm going to bed after the show gets done.
Yeah, which I love. It's there's one going to bed early. Yeah. Like, yep, sounds good to me at times.
Yeah.
But just everything about this game, I think really pulls you in.
Yeah.
Like, you get your characters that have their own little special abilities, and it's even tied to their character and stuff like that. That's cool.
And the art on those character cards is really cool. The art all kind of ties together, and it's kind of comic. It's like late 70s comic book art,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool that it all ties together. And then on your card, it's the same thing. And there's some information on the card that's, it comes right down to it, it's unnecessary. Like, it's just there to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it is fun.
It is
like,
fun.
It's not like you have to read a whole paragraph and keep something in mind. It's just like, this person is a keyboard player and a masseuse, mm-hmm. and, really wants to make it. Like, whatever. So, it's a good job of tying that all in on your card and, like, explaining who you are so that you can live in this world. Like, if you're the kind of person that is into the role-playing and can take on a persona, like, mm-hmm. it's great to, like, lose yourself in it. I know I caught myself a couple different times where I was like, well, these are my choices, but if I was a keyboarding masseuse in the late 70s, a keyboarding female masseuse in the late 70s, mm-hmm. what would my red-bearded man in the mid-20s, what would I do? Mm-hmm. And it was great to, live in that world for a second.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, again, we could talk our faces off about this game, but I feel like it really, encapsulates...
What was that word?
I don't know.
Encapsulates.
The trying to become a rock star, finding your way through things. It's not overly complicated. Again, there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot on the board, there's a lot in the instruction booklet, but once you kind of get going, it's pretty easy to just kind of play and try to figure your way through it.
Yeah, I think this is one where you could skim the instructions, maybe go watch a video, but I went and looked some videos afterwards. I didn't watch all the way through. I know I've got my favorite companies for doing those and everything, but I think this is one where you could get the basics of what the game is and just start playing and learn as you go. As long as, like you said, you've got a patient veteran, thank you for your service, as long as you've got a patient veteran there to work with you, or you're all like gamer super nerds, like I feel like anybody can start playing this one and figure it out. This is one where you don't necessarily need to know everything to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And you would maybe redo some things on your next playthrough. But also I feel like that ties back into what it is. Like when you're living your life and you're trying to be a rock star or maybe having to keep your job.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it is. So they do a good job. It's very playable.
Yeah, for sure. Again, like you said, anybody can pretty much kind of play this game, young or old. So, yeah. There's our experience with Rock Hard 1977.
Rock Hard!
That's right. If you check out the MFGcast Instagram or TikTok, I actually did a small video on what this game looks like. So you can even just see what it looks like. Yeah, and you can see my dumbass dancing a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Dude,
I know.
I cannot.
I know. I know.
I've seen you dance before.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, skills.
So check that out. And I think we're good for this episode.
Heck yeah. Great game, Jackie. Mm-hmm. You nailed it, Ms. Fox.
Thank you.
Just
awesome.
Well, let's maybe go look up if there's a Jackie Fox fan club too while you're on the internet.
Please let us know. If you want to add some like fun stuff to her Wikipedia, like she's a 5-star Michelin cook.
Wait, what was the name of the song that she was famous for?
Cherry Bomb.
I want to do it one more time. Copyright laws.
You can.
I'm not doing it.
You're not singing it. I mean, you're not singing the whole thing.
Cherry Bomb.
There you go. All right. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
I'm Jason.
This was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.